This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop and Johnny Cakes Auville.
Yep.
We'll talk to our pal Alan May at 8:20, NBC Sports Washington Capitals analyst. Caps with the shootout loss yesterday. I am almost amazed when they don't score in overtime because there are so many opportunities in that three-on-three.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising somebody doesn't always net one in one of those five-minute sessions, but that was the case yesterday.
And then when Oshie scored the very first goal at shootout, I thought, oh, it's a big winner for the Caps.
That was a beautiful.
I counted the chickens.
That was a beautiful goal, too.
It was very nice.
Great to get off to a lead, Cakes.
I know. It felt great.
Couldn't hold the lead.
But then Cousy didn't even get a shot on goal.
I mean, did he lose the goal? Did he lose his mind for a second and think he could
skate
behind the goal?
I thought he could wrap it around.
He was trying to shoot it off the goalie.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I've got to think that's a very low percentage shot.
Yeah, it was weak.
Well, we can talk to Alan May about that coming up at 8:20.
You at least got to get a shot on goal. You at least got to get the thing out.
Yeah. But we wanted to talk to the boys behind the glass about Cameo. I really don't know anything about this, but apparently they have a little anecdote about their time with Cameo.
Yeah. Well, you know how we've been just smoking hot?
We've been crushing it.
You guys been running
we're like
hot.
TJ Warren of Cameo.
Yeah. I mean, I did not know that, but sure.
Cameo.
Yeah.
Well, we told you guys like our chemistry is off the charts.
Right.
It's still coming in. You know, we're
high-fiving
after we do them, talking about how the Matt and Matt show is just naturally talented.
Uh-huh.
All this chemistry.
Yeah. Talking about how Drad would go, oh, I just set you up for that zing. And I go, yeah, I know, I heard. We're crushing it.
Balls.
And we cut Adam out, which makes us feel good.
Yeah, we're happy about that.
Yes, that's an improvement.
So on Friday, at the end of the week.
We typically do them on Friday. We bang them out at Friday if we can.
We cut a cameo for, I think, this guy named Ian and his wife.
Yeah, Andrew is the guy that ordered it, and it's for Ian.
Yeah, and so they're having a baby and whatever. We didn't think that much of it.
That's a typical cameo request. Okay. Someone just had their kid and wishing
welcome the new child.
Yeah, congratulations. Okay. The family is a bunch of Junk's listeners.
All right.
You know, we're happy that we get another Junk's listener.
Right.
You know, that kind of shtick.
So we cut it. We send it out. We fist bump and we go on with our lives. And I didn't think anything of it until later that weekend where we were both confronted about it.
Uh-oh.
Which is kind of funny.
I was confronted through text. So it's
confronted.
It's a friend of the show.
All right.
That is apparently related to the people who requested the cameo.
Okay.
And then we just got grilled because we completely butchered the cameo.
Which is, you can't do a redo. Once it's out there, like
right.
The only way for them to to do it again is to send you more money. Like, you can't just send them another one. That's not how it works.
No make goods.
There's no make goods.
But you guys could have edited before you actually sent it out.
Right. Yeah.
On Cameo.
Of course.
Were you happy with your product?
Yeah.
Before?
Yeah, because we thought we did a bang up job.
So what was so controversial? Can we guess who the junkie's friend is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give us a clue?
You see him a couple times a year.
Uh-huh.
See him a couple times a year.
It's kind of cryptic. See him a few times a year.
He hooks you a couple times a year.
Hooks you a few times a year. See him a few times a year.
All right. So just think about that for a second.
All right.
So he texts Valdez on Friday.
Yes.
And Valdez obviously did not smooth it over enough.
I did. By the way, I did apologize through text.
I'm at the farmer's market on Saturday.
Well, he has your text number, by the way. I'm going to guess it's Chris Farley.
Okay. It's not Chris Farley.
Okay.
So this person comes to the farmer's market on Saturday with a mask up to his eyeballs. I have no idea who it is.
So he's local.
Looks me in the face and says, "Hey, Drab, you really screwed up our cameo." I go, what? I don't even know who it is behind the mask.
Right.
It's like one of those giant, like, scarf masks that's covering his whole head.
Okay.
And he goes, "Yeah, you guys were talking about how a family member of mine was having a baby, and they were naming it Jan." He goes, "You dummy. The baby's being born in January, in Jan. That's not the baby's name."
We misread the cameo request.
So
we did about a 1 minute Eddie Murphy stand-up on how awful the name Jan is.
You did a whole Jan Brady
bit. Yeah, we did.
Of course.
Oh, that's a huge botch. Yeah.
And he goes, "And the cameo, it wasn't from Andrew and
Barth.
And Bart. Why did you guys say Bart? My wife's name is Beth."
God, you guys are terrible readers.
The monkeys read.
I'm like, oh, this is so embarrassing. And he's just grilling me. And he goes, "Do you know who I am?" And I go, "No." And he pulls down the mask. And it's Tim Seymour from The Palm.
Oh, I was going to guess him. Oh, boy.
He's such a big silly.
He's a big willy.
I was so embarrassed.
I felt bad because I at least got it through text. Drab had to deal with it in person. And I actually think Tim Seymour is listening to the show and knows that Drab is out at the farmer's market and specifically went to confront him.
Now, is he the one that ordered the cameo?
No, I think his son. I get confused exactly who it was. I think it was his son is having the child. I'm
got
not quite
it.
Sure.
Or his wife's related to someone. But he's involved somehow to the point where he grilled us.
Yeah.
So I haven't been to the Palm since our ratings celebration dinner.
Nor have I.
Right.
Well, wow. So you botched.
You botched that on multiple fronts.
So many
you
levels.
Botched I don't. Bart.
Yeah. Well, Bart.
I think it was a typo. We can't go back and read the original request.
Yeah.
But I think it was a typo. I can't be that stupid.
It's just embarrassing because he's like a professional smoozer for a living. Like
His whole life is cameo.
Is getting people's names right and knowing little things about them.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's his career. And, like, the one time he sees our work, we just butcher it.
And then, like, he's so nice to us over the years. And then he asked for one little favor. Paid for, by the way. One little favor. And we can't even deliver.
Can we hear the cameo?
I'm sure you could grab it here. It's not that interesting besides us just talking about the baby's name.
Yeah, but I want to hear it.
I want to hear the cameo now.
All right, you're going to have to give me a second.
He's got to download it.
Yeah, Timmy Seymour is fantastic. Makes me think I should go to the Palm soon.
Hey, maybe it was Adam was the glue that was holding you donks together. Maybe you shouldn't have cut him out of the mix.
Yeah, I'd expect those
really
type of mistakes.
That.
I would expect those type of mistakes to come from Adam.
Yeah.
January.
Right, like, you can't read the request that gets sent to you.
Well,
you can't read it correctly.
We could see, like, the first line of the request. Going back and look at it, and it definitely said the baby's being born in Jan.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I can't pull.
So
I
you thought it meant
like he
didn't make you thought it meant like inside?
No, I just
Jan's
just,
body.
No, we just saw Jan, and we thought,
they glanced at it.
Tom glanced at it.
Yeah, they glanced, just like JP does all the time.
They're too busy coming up with zings. They couldn't read the request.
Anyway, what is...
You know what? At the end of the day, it's only $20. Yeah, they botched it, but it's only $20.
What is the address if people want to order a fantastic Cameo from you guys?
Way to hype it up.
Cameo, just search Junkies Producers in there. But you gotta give us enough information. Sometimes people don't give us any information to, like, spitball with. Yeah. They'll just say, hey, it's my boyfriend's Kevin's birthday. Say hi. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we like to do 2-3 minute cameos. Well, what else do you want us to say? You got to tell us a little about
You got to provide some more details. I get it.
Like, if you're having a baby and when it's what its name is.
Oh, Timmy Seymour. Timmy Seymour.
Yeah, good dude.
Loves Peaky Blinders.
My buddy. Yeah.
So yesterday, or actually on Friday, D.C.'s first official sports book opened at Capital One Arena.
Oh, I saw a story on the news yesterday about that.
William Hill is the bookmaker involved, and you got a sports book now right there. Monumental Sports, which owns the Wizards, the Mystics, the Caps, and Capital One Arena, announced the partnership with William Hill way back last October. But now you actually have a sports book there. You can see kind of, if you've seen any pictures, you have almost like ATM booths where you can make the bets.
Yep.
Do you know how much action they're going to get game nights?
I mean, it looks like they basically just turned a bank of, like, their will call windows into sportsbook windows with the screens over top of the window area that have all the lines. You walk up, you place your money in, you make your bet, and, like you said, they also have kiosks, like touch screens, where you can make the bets there as well, so... Next time we head down to Capital One Arena, you'll be able to play some wagers in-house.
In about 5 years.
It'll be sooner than that.
By the way, is that where the Green Turtle used to be? Is that where they put it?
I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That is. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think they put him in the lobby of the will call right now.
Right. That's what I think it looked. That's the temporary spot.
It's temporary, yeah.
They're going to build that blicky out, though.
Yeah.
They're going to make it bigger and better. But it's there. It's up and running.
About time. I mean, it was approved months ago, if not a couple years, and we were just waiting for it, and they finally got it done. Good.
So you can make bets at the games. Jason, did you win your Caps bet yesterday?
Yeah. Well, I told you. I took the Lightning, and then I took the live bet under 6.5 goals in the third period. So hit both.
Coming up next.
12-3, by the way, yesterday. 12
very presses. Nice. We will talk some Caps coming up next with NBC Sports Washington analyst Alan May right here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, you can always hit that rewind button on your radio.com app and go back in time as much as 24 hours. Fantastic feature. All right, joining us right now is our pal Alan May. Jumps on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. And Alan, you weren't lying. Your background, it looked fantastic last night.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun to get done. I had nothing to do with it other than just an idea. And a local painter that does a lot of the things for the Capitals. Fan base, the players, people all over, really all over North America. She's done a lot of wonderful paintings, and she did that, and hopefully she sells it for a good price, and she's going to give money to charity, so it's going to be for a good cause.
Yeah, I'll give her a Twitter shout-out. Her work is pretty amazing, at TKO Paintings. It's very impressive. I mean, that's a really good job on that background that she did, and I'm sure she's done a lot of other really good work as well.
So we were talking about this, Alan. Like, I've watched some of the NBA games, and it just doesn't seem the same to me in terms of the intensity, you know, without the fans. But I thought the game yesterday was different. There's intensity there in these round-robin games, right?
Yeah, it was a little chippy there, Alan.
Yeah, well, you know what? Even in the 12 preseason games that they had, every team played one preseason game. I thought the intensity and the level of play was way greater than it's been in the past. And then you add to the first round and the round robin games, these guys are playing for real because it's that much closer to the Stanley Cup. It's a couple months away, and they're out there. It looks like they're playing in a video game the way they've got the fans set up and all the CGI effects. They're having a good time, and they're having the time of their lives in that bubble, and they want to go out there and win. They thought if they come back to play hockey, each and every team, they might as well go for it. Make sure that it can last 2 months rather than being over, you know, by August 8th or 9th. So I've been really impressed with all the games that I've watched. And I thought the Caps, you know, after the first period or so, looked really good, really intense, very intense. And Tampa looked intense for about the first two periods of the game. And to me, it was just a good match. You saw a lot of hitting. You saw guys fighting. Not that that makes it intense, but I really liked the level of hockey yesterday as the game wore on.
Yeah, especially for a 21-week layoff, Alan. Did you think there was one area they could really improve upon? You mentioned that they looked pretty good for that sort of layoff, but is there something that you think Coach Reardon and the coaching staff are going to drill down on before their next game against Philly?
Well, I thought in the very first part that they were just kind of, they were doing soft things with the puck, little unadvised plays. And it took them a little while to get the softness out of their game. And when they play a harder brand of hockey, the Caps are a very good hockey team. As you know, a couple of years ago, they played the hardest brand they've ever played and the smartest to win the Stanley Cup. Last year, I didn't like the look of the team. I didn't like, you know, they said they were tired. They went in the playoffs, and they did look tired by that seventh game. They couldn't move against Carolina. But they have to be the aggressor with the physical play. And I thought as the game wore on yesterday, after TJ woke them up with his fight, they got the aggressive stuff going, and they simplified their game. I love the fact they score two ugly goals, battling around the net for those. Because to me, that is the way that they have to play to win. They've got so many gifted goal scorers that can score pretty, except what you want to be able to do is get the ugly goals, like the Lars Eller goal from a few years back. And, you know, not the goal against Columbus that had about five Karens before it went in the net. So if they can add that level of hockey, get to that level and that mindset that they've got to be physical, that they've got to be firm out there, that they got to play with a bad mood but still within discipline, they can go a long ways in these playoffs. And that's what I like to see as the game went on. And the power play, getting pucks to the net, I like. But it's just a matter of, you know, refining those things. They got two more games to work on that.
And when they're at full of strength, you know, with John Carlson, how do they match up with a team like Tampa who they ultimately could face in the playoffs?
Well, I like them versus Tampa, and it's because the Caps can actually, they've got, you look at all the guys that they have that play physical. We'll just start in the first line. You've got, you know, Wilson, of course, who's the most dominant physical player in the National Hockey League. Ovechkin, who can bring the pain all the time. TJ Oshie can play a physical brand of hockey. And on the fourth line, you look at all of those guys. You know, the Lars Eller, but guys who are primarily physical, you got Hathaway and Dowd, who show up every single game and give you great effort. And Richard Panik, a guy people don't realize, is a devastating body checker. And he's fit in well with those two guys. You have Radko Gudas, Orlov can play physical, Dylan. But you take all of those guys and play a tougher brand of hockey. And not because I played a certain way when I played. I've just seen them have success with this. I've seen them intimidate Tampa by being a physical team and then having enough goal-scoring punch going there, and the odd time they'll get a nice goal, a goal scorer's goal. But when you have guys who have finished, they've got a lot of players with finish. Yeah, that's a great mix to me. And with excellent goaltending, I really think the Caps can go a long way.
The move that Ovi made to go through points legs was so effortless and smooth. I thought he was going to score on that. That would have been one of the nicest goals of all time. I mean, he just looked so good on that. What did you think of that move?
Well, when you have a forward back on defense, you want to make sure that you try something like that. You get them puck watching. And Braden Point was he was filling in for a defenseman, or he was in a defenseman's position. And Obi faked the shot and punched it through his legs and went in and just, missed by inches. And, Vasilevsky makes a good save. But it was a very dynamic move. But it was one of those things that the really good players realize, that when they've got a forward back there, they try to take advantage of them. And just once he dropped the shoulder, it looked like he was going to shoot. He just tucked it between his legs. So a perfect move, and Ovechkin still has it. And the sooner he gets on the board in these games that count, it'll be a lot better for the Capitals.
So just following up on that, fundamentally, you say a forward, so Point's a forward. He's going to play that differently than a defenseman. How would a defenseman play that?
Well, a defenseman is going to have a stick on the puck the entire time.
Okay.
And it's not going to be able to go through the legs. And it's just a matter of they're worried about how they can do their turn. Braden Point's is just an incredible skater. But backwards, the defensemen are doing it their whole life. They play the majority of the game skating backwards, or say half the game. And it's just not what Point does. Point's a whirling dervish that's going 100 miles an hour forwards every single shift of the game. So it's just a difference in the nuance of how you play the position. But most forwards, Ovi included, would be puck watching, and they're more susceptible to getting walked around like that.
Talking Caps with analyst Alan May from NBC Sports Washington. As great a move as that was from Ovi, we're trying to figure out what Cousy was doing in the shootout. Can you take us through what Cousy was trying to do?
Well, what he was trying to do, and he's done it a lot of times, he was trying to get Vasilevsky to bite on his shot. So a lot of times when Kuznetsov goes down, he's on his forehand, which is the left side of his body, and he's going to go blocker side about 2 feet up over the pad, or 2 feet up into the net over the pad of the goaltender. Well, Vasilevsky was there, and as he shuffled across the ice, Kuznetsov pulled the puck. I think it just got a little too wide on him, and then he wanted to go through, I call it a backhand slider, where the goaltender expects you to go up top, and you just slide it between their legs. And every goalie hates that, but Vasilevsky was there. He was sprawled in a good position, and basically Cousy just ran out of real estate and got below the goal line. It wouldn't have counted anyways.
Alan, can you update us on Vitek Vanacek, the backup goalie, who's there along with Phoenix Copley to back up Braden Holtby? From the sound of the broadcast yesterday with Locker and Joe B, it sounds like Reardon might try to get Vanacek a start in one of these round-robin games. Give us some background on him and how he kind of fits into this goalie puzzle with the Caps.
Well, he probably will get one of these games here. They said that at the start, that they've had to get the other guy in there, and Vanacek is the other guy right now. But I hope he doesn't play as far as once they get to the playoff round to get through this. I think it would be wise to play him in one of these games. It's not the end of the world where the seeding is in this, because you've still got to beat the good teams that you're playing against, no matter who they are. And the Caps are going to seed higher. But you look at Vanacek, he's a good-sized goaltender. I think he's about 6'2". And with the training that he's had from Mitch Korn and now Scott Murray and even Olaf Kolzig, he's worked on the fundamentals of his game. He's gotten his conditioning up. He looks very similar to Holtby in net. He's got a lot of good reps in the American Hockey League, just like Holtby did around the same age. He even played in the East Coast or the ECHL for a little while. And I think the big thing with this is you really don't want to see him in the net after the round robin, because you want, if they're going to win this thing, it's going to have to be Braden Holtby getting 16 wins and, maybe it's 15 and someone fills in and, Vanacek goes in for an illness or something like that. But to me, the most important thing is that Holtby plays in the playoffs. The guy's dynamite. No leaky goals out of him. He looks like he's focused and dialed in. He wants to make sure that if he's going out and not going to be a Capital anymore, he wants to go out with a victory in his last game. So to me, it's all about Braden Holtby in these playoffs and not so much about Vitek Vanacek. And hopefully we're not talking about him, during this 2 months that he's a factor in these games.
Alan, do you have a guess as to what John Carlson was doing on his phone? Of course, he couldn't play. Was he playing Words with Friends with cakes?
I hope so.
Was he playing Candy Crush? Was he texting you? Do we know?
He's probably texting his wife, playing games, looking at Twitter, the same thing the rest of us do.
Right.
That's just, you know, you're just bored out of your mind. He wanted to be playing, and you know, everyone does that now. It just seems like the devil's device is in everyone's hand, and everyone's just sitting there killing time. It's hard to sit down and have a coherent thought without getting on your phone. So just like the rest of us, he was doing nothing important.
Should we expect him back on Thursday against Philly?
Well, I think the wise move was to keep him out yesterday because it was a pretty tough fall that he had. And if he's not feeling good, you would probably be able to gauge it by if he practices the next couple of days. And if he does, I would say he's going to be in the lineup. And it's just one of those things. But the most important thing, you know, if it is an injury that causes any amount of pain, but he can still skate, I wouldn't play him any of these round robin games. And I'd just have him ready, skating, doing his rehab, and getting ready for whoever the first round matchup is against.
What have you seen from the rest of the NHL thus far? I think Vegas got goals from Chandler Stephenson and Nate Schmidt, I see.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the way it goes? Well, Vegas is a good-looking hockey team, and they made some good trades at the deadline. It'll be interesting to see how good their defense is if they go all the way. They got a different coach than they had when they played the Caps in the finals. But what I see around the National Hockey League is that the Columbus Blue Jackets are still the hardest working team in the National Hockey League. They get in your face, and I would love to see them knock off Toronto. They battled, they shot blocked, they've got all their players back, and you think of it, this past season, they played almost every game down 8 regular players. At times, they had 12 players injured. So, you know, their mentality, I love it, and it's great for anyone, is that, you know, no matter who you're up against, you got to give it a go and put your best foot forward. And these guys do it every night. John Tortorella is an incredible motivator, a great guy, and I just love seeing the brand of hockey that they play because it's a lot of physicality. It's crashing the net. It's bumping into goaltenders. It scrums after every whistle. They're dialed in. They're all in emotionally invested every single game. They play physically every single game. They do what it takes to compete, and I just think that's a team that I really like. And the Pittsburgh Penguins look like they're the same style of team with a lot more goal scoring, but you know, they can get, you know, back and forth type of game. Columbus doesn't do that. So I just like overall, really, what I'm seeing out of almost every single game that I've watched so far has been entertaining. And the guys have been, you know, doing everything they can to make themselves proud and to show that they're, you know, professional hockey players getting paid a good chunk of money and they're putting it on the line right now. So to me, it's a great brand of hockey. And I think the NHL has done it better than anyone so far.
And Carolina beats New York again last night. They're up 2-0. They just allowed one yesterday. I think in game one they only allowed one, too. Maybe it was in a shutout. Can't remember. But is that a dangerous team going forward?
Yeah, they are. And they still have some players injured, but they've got a great brand of in-your-face hockey. They're excellent. They've got great speed on their team. And you know, really the Rangers shouldn't be in this thing, but I don't really care that they are. You know, I think the format they came up with works for me, and the league, the players, the owners, they all had a hand in this. But Carolina is a really good hockey team. They're fast. They can move the puck at high speed. They're relentless on the back check, the forecheck, their physical play. And you know, they've got a couple of players they want to get back to the lineup, but right now it's a great tune-up for them playing against the New York Rangers, and they'll be ready to go and roll against whoever they're playing in the first round.
Alan, it's quite a day for the hockey nerds today. Puck drops at noon. You got 6 games, including a 10:45 nightcap with the Wild and the Canucks. So if you're looking for playoff hockey, today's your day.
Well, absolutely. When you look, a great rainy day in Washington, D.C., that's what hockey's all about, is the rain, right? So here we are in August, 5 hockey games, and I never thought I would be watching a hockey game, an NHL hockey game. I thought maybe at some point the Olympics could be in the summer. But right now, to me, this is awesome. So a day like today, get a workout in, and that's all I'm going to do all day is basically watch hockey and eat.
By the way, I saw you posted on Twitter, I guess, one of your recent workouts. I've seen Alan May work out. You go from exercise to exercise really fast, and it looks like you're still going at it.
Yeah, you know what? It's boredom in the summertime. We were locked down. We couldn't do anything, so I have a gym in my garage. I take dumbbells with me on vacation. Anything I could do, just so to kill some time during the day. So I found a new workout fad for me for a while, and their circuits, and it's going to keep the pounds off and keep me ready to roll.
All right, Alan, good stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, take care, guys. All the best.
See you, bro.
That's Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports.
I wanted to
get
his fatty for the 12 o'clock puck drop.
Yeah, he slept on your opportunity.
Just text him.
Yeah, I'm going to text him. I guarantee he likes the Islands today against the Panthers.
Whatever happened to your connection with Hockey Boy? I used to see
Hockey Man.
Boy.
What's up with him?
Over at Lifetime Fitness.
I don't know, but Hockey Boy is number one in the Dinger League right now. He's leading our Dinger Only League.
What? He got Aaron Judge?
So maybe he's focused. I think he does. Maybe he's focused more on baseball and his lineup than he is on hockey right now.
Dinger Boy.
Yeah, he's Dinger Boy now.
All right, got to take a break. We'll come back with more right here on the Junkies. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, tomorrow we'll connect with Mike Rizzo, Nationals GM and President of Baseball Ops. He joins us every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. The Nationals have had 4 days off because of the COVID outbreaks and cancellations, but they'll be back in action tonight against the New York Mets. As long as the weather turns around, because where I am, it doesn't look very good. Mm. But they've got several hours till game time. Scheduled to start is Patrick Corbin against Steven Matz, Battle of Two Southpaws.
Yeah, I think the storm is moving pretty fast. It should be cleared out by game time. I would expect it to be. I think they said 3 o'clock, maybe at the latest. But I think it's moving faster than that. So it may even be out before that. So I think they'll get the game in. Now, the Yankees have already canceled their game up in New York. So luckily the game is not up there in New York for the Nats, because they've already canceled their game against the Phillies tonight.
But that has to do with the weather. What do we make of the cancellations due to COVID? So it started with the Marlins, and I think it's as many as 18 players and two staff members tested positive last week for the Marlins. For the Marlins. Mm-hmm. Then we started hearing about the Cardinals, which was the second team to get it. And at first it was like one guy, two guys. Now I think is it up to like seven or eight?
I heard it was 13 total, including 13. Staffers. So I think half of those were players.
I know this. When I first heard the news, I actually sent a text to Jason. I was like, man, the baseball season doesn't look good. And you texted back something like, it's cooked. It's done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so many games have been canceled. I don't know how many total games have been canceled. It's got to be close to 30 or 40. Because you've had the Marlins, you've had the Phillies, you've had the Cardinals, you've had the Tigers. Who am I missing? You've had the Yankees, you've had the the Blue Jays. All right, so that's six teams just off the top of my head who have already had games canceled. Can you make them all up? I don't know. I mean, even with the seven-inning doubleheaders, you can only play so many doubleheaders.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. It just takes another couple of teams to have these huge outbreaks, and then I do believe it could be cooked.
Yeah, I mean, Major League Baseball, when you put 30 teams, and I guess they've got, you know, expanded rosters and the staff, you're talking about 1,800 people without a bubble. So you're expecting 1,800 people to behave appropriately, that when they're off the field, they socially distant, that they don't do any of these at-risk behaviors, but it's just hard to believe that so many players are going to be able to follow the rules.
Right, and all it takes is one or two to contract it and then go into a locker room and spread it.
Yeah.
And then it's out of control.
Well, the good thing is they haven't spread it to other teams. In other words, the Marlins didn't spread it to, you know, whoever, the Orioles
Phillies.
Or the Phillies or whoever they were supposed to play. So it's not spreading from team to team, player to player from other teams. It's just kind of spread. They're getting it from an outside source and spreading it within their own team. So that is good news, if there is any. But you're right. I mean, you've had six or seven teams affected. I mean, I don't. There's only a certain amount of days you have in the schedule to make these things up.
And it's just hard to, if they're not going to be in a bubble, it's hard to have all of your guys completely on board. You know, the Cardinals general manager or team president, he was asked if the guys went to a casino, and I don't think he directly answered it, but there are rumors that the guys went to a casino. With the Marlins, Derek Jeter is saying they didn't go to a club, but there are rumors that the guys went to a club. And I think when you have so many guys, it's going to be hard to completely contain it. We were talking yesterday about these scenes in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, or the White Trash Bash. And I'm not saying that these players are going to go to events like that, but you would think over the course of a couple months, these players may want to go out if they're young and single.
Of course. We talked about this last week or maybe 2 weeks ago. There was an unnamed player in Major League Baseball that said what's going to take this season down is the fact that young guys are horny.
Right, and they want to go out to clubs.
And that was the exact quote. And he's right. I mean, these guys want to go out, and they want to go out and holler, and they want to get, you know, bring the girls back to the to their apartments or wherever, their hotels, wherever they are. And that's probably going to take it down.
Can they stop the horniness to keep baseball alive and thriving?
You remember how you were, how horny you were when you were 22, 23?
Yeah, it's true. It's a very good point.
I mean, you, no one could tell you not to holler. You were going to do everything in your power just to go out and holler.
Yeah,
that's what these guys are doing.
I couldn't just wait. I couldn't wait to chase all the bottle rats at the nightclubs.
He was such a player at Towson.
I was. Right. It was tough to keep it in my pants.
Yeah, he did his best. But again, JP, you know, we talked about it yesterday. There's only so many days to make up the games. And what is the team going to play, 8 or 9 doubleheaders?
Are you okay with one team this year, let's say, have 50 games and another team having 60 and it going to winning percentage?
I mean, I'm okay with it because I want the season to continue. But it's unfair. You know, it's unfair if a team like the Nats need 2 or 3 more wins and just based on winning percentage they don't get in. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to get in either way. But
and then this is total conspiracy.
But let me just say this. If the Marlins have another outbreak and next week they have 10 more guys – shut them down. They're out of the league. Out. You can give every team that plays them an automatic dub. So if a team has multiple outbreaks, I think they should be out of the league for the season.
Here's a conspiracy theory, though. You know, Valdez is having fun with the fact that the Orioles start off 5-3. Yankees are, of course, atop the division. I think they're 8-1 or 9-1. They're off to an amazing start. So let's take a team like the Orioles who may actually have a shot when it comes down to it that you have 16 teams getting the playoffs. So 8 teams in the American League will get in.
Uh-huh.
They added 3 more than the normal 5 that get into the playoffs. What if you're the Orioles and through 50 games of the season, you're in the 7 slot? Could you fake a COVID outburst to shut it down so that your winning percentage stays the same?
No,
you know what I mean? Instead
fake
of risking
it.
Losses.
No, because outside people are giving them tests. What are they going to
do? That's true. You got to get a test.
You can't coax these doctors or medical staff to lie about it.
Go out to backyard parties. Right. Have a team party, COVID party.
But who's going to play for the Marlins in this 3-game series? Aren't they down to their, you know, their bottom 30?
Valdez
hopes pretty close.
It's the ball boys. He doesn't
Didn't they
care.
Make a trade? Didn't they make a trade for like an Orioles reliever? And I think they've acquired a couple of people. So, I mean, that's where the GM has to do work. Derek Jeter has to do some work. He needs to bring in some new players to play for the Marlins.
Actually, it's a 4-game series. Are they playing all 4 of those games in Baltimore?
I'm pretty sure all 4 are in Baltimore.
Baltimore's played a ton of home games so far.
I know. I guess their first or their only road series was,
Boston.
In Boston, their first series.
Yeah, because they played 2 in New York. They played the Miami series was canceled. Tampa, they played 3 at home. And now they're going to get Miami for 4. And then they'll play the Nats. But, of course, that's basically a home game. Then they go to Philly. So, yeah, they've had a ton of home games. I picked up John Means today in one of my fantasy leagues.
Good luck with his 19.29 ERA.
Terrible, but he's going against a minor league team, so I'm hoping he gets a win.
He's going against undecided.
Yeah, so.
If you look at the box score, he's going against undecided.
But wouldn't you agree if another team gets a second outbreak, it's on them, and you got to just, they got to be out.
Yeah, I just don't know what's going to happen, so. Are the Marlins going to play, let's say the Marlins play 52 games this year, and they are 500 in their 52 games, and they're battling for that last spot in the National League. And there's a team that's played 60 games that's one game below 500, would obviously have more wins because they've played more games. Do you take the team like the Marlins, who would be, what, 26-26? Or would you take the team that's 29-31? Which team makes the playoffs?
I don't know. I would take
the 500 team has the better winning percentage, but the team with 29 wins obviously has more wins.
Yeah, I would say they got to do everything in their power to get all those 60 games in and make them up. If you can't, that's on you. So it's all about wins. That's what I would say.
Jeter needs some adversity in his life. I would keep the Marlins out.
Yeah. Okay, there's no chance. By the way, there's no chance the Marlins are going to have a 500 record.
No.
But
probably not. But think about it. You're actually betting on a guy who has a near 20 ERA.
I know. I'm betting on a poopy.
Against the Marlins.
But I'm just playing the odds that the Marlins, you know, their top guys are not all going to be in the lineup today. So it'll probably come back to haunt me. I'll probably lose it. But you know, the Orioles have been hitting the ball and playing well.
Why don't you bet on Patrick Corbin tonight? Soto is scheduled to return to the lineup, so the Nationals get a stronger lineup to go along with Patrick Corbin.
Well, I will probably play the team total runs. I'm going to probably go over the 4.5 runs for the Nats today against the Mets. Mets got a win yesterday against the Braves, but the Braves starting pitcher tore his Achilles early in that game. So they were able to – they were up 3-0, I think, at the time. But Soroka tore his Achilles on the mound. Brutal. Out for the year. So I'm going to play the Nats, JP, over 4.5 runs tonight. That's my play. That's my play in that game.
All right. Got to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.